J10, number 9B.
Yes, yeah, so as I was saying, it comes as it comes to us, that one mind, as the one mind, the all, which is the all in all, which is the cause, and it brings to, as an impact to the human enlightenment and wisdom, which controls and regulates anything within us that wants to resist that impact of intelligence on us. So it forces us really to accept enlightenment and vision and discovery. A breakthrough occurs in everyone at some time. We are all programmed for success. Everyone will have a breakthrough. They have to. The divine mind will not stop self-seeking itself in all our consciousness. As we know now, that law of mind is a self-seeking cybernetic device that is coming to make our natures and God's nature one in spite of us. It only will do it. We can't stop it. And so therefore, it causes us to have the true desire to what? True desire to know what the plant life is, you see? True desire to evolve. We stay within the category. The true desire to know the divine mind as it is, huh? Therefore, if we have that true desire to know the divine mind as it is, it has open thoughts for us to turn to the one mind, to be a willing disciple, to seek the one mind. And when we seek the one mind, we're open to investigate, to study, to learn logically, to have divine thoughts. You hear all those mind qualities there in column 6? It begins to want to think logically, not to take the subject as on belief or faith or as a religion, but to want to get it ourselves. To want to think in categories, to want to think logically, to want to be law-abiding ourselves, you see? And then it handles the illusion, disappears once we respond. Therefore, it handles the belief of mortal mind or mind's many, or the illusion of being ignorant, handles the belief of animal magnetism, that we're under any other influence but the one mind. So here we can see then that whole tonality of the levels breaking in on consciousness. Now, this is also true when we would take up, and we just have time, of course, to do the elaboration as we just did with mind. But we know then, as we go on in the study aid, to page 72, 73, 74, and so, that we will see that the same is true about spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. We will see that the ideas under spirit and soul, principle, life, truth, and love also structure themselves dimensionally on the levels according to the same categories. So at this point of step 3, our concept building just makes itself a little larger, structuring the synonyms dimensionally. All right, so we could turn perhaps to page 60 in our study aid. And here, I'm just introducing where we can look for the subject. Naturally, we have a lot of classes on the levels of consciousness. It was not the intent of this class, of course, to teach the fourfold operation or the four levels, just to introduce it. The intent of the class, of course, was to have us focus mainly on the seven synonymous terms, the first great category in our divine system of reference. And so then we can see here on this page, we get there four exercises, Max in his syllabus program. After his syllabus 1 and syllabus 2 that worked a lot with the synonymous terms in syllabus 1 as ideas, and in syllabus 2 of the blending of ideas. And then as he goes on, he begins to work in syllabus 3, 4, and 5 with the fourfold operation, and then the four levels of spiritual consciousness. Those are excellent tapes, as I said, in the syllabus program by Kapler to give us this whole divine system of reference in a nice program. So we have those to study with. Here it's just an introduction then that we can see that we can learn. For example, the level of science itself, that level of principle itself, the infinite one, the one, the only, the indivisible whole, the integral, the I am, the self-operation. We have that tonality to build up an understanding of that level. And we have then, as and I've given it already in its general tonality, then we have other ideas to build up the tonality of divine science as principle, and its universe is one, and this one is principle. Then we have different ideas to build up the tonality of absolute Christian science as the infinite details going on within that principle as a calculus of ideas. Then we have the tonality of Christian science to see how that has its impact on the human and resolves illusions. And we have, therefore, that particular subject then of the levels being shown as we like it then through what we call the model of being. And this model of being, we know, therefore we find most gratefully in Max Kepler's book on the four levels of spiritual consciousness, science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science, opposite page one in that book on what he called the chart. Now we know that the word chart has been called now the model. The model is now, we see the terminology in the world today. This modeling problem is something that they need to model the DNA. They do modeling of various laws. They want the ultimate model of the universe. It's much more a accepted term than, of course, just a chart. This was actually a model of the structure of universal science and its universal laws, a model of being. And we know that it takes wonderfully the divine system of reference as given to us in the Christian Science textbook. Then the synonyms for God, as we're studying them, as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, which we see then operate. We know that mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love just state the nature of God. But when we get the nature of something, it doesn't say how it operates. So we know now that word Christ, Christianity, shows the operation of God, as the word shows that God operates out of itself. The Christ shows that God operates through itself, through its translation and retranslation, as given on page 115 and 116 in the textbook. Christianity operates, therefore, as itself. When the word operates out of itself and the Christ through itself, Christianity is always the outcome as itself, and science for the glory of itself. Or we could say that fourfold operation in being is really, in cybernetic terminology, principle God is always inputting into the universe what its nature is, that the word takes the whole nature of God and inputs it into the universe. How? Through the operation of the Christ. The Christ takes the whole principled nature of God and translates it down to every single idea and retranslates out everything that isn't like the nature of God. And the outcome is as itself. The whole creation is as the nature of God. We can't avoid it because of the Christ. See, those laws have a Christ. They're going to go through the retranslation, making God's nature and man's nature one, principles nature and ideas nature one, making principle first of all and the universe is nature one, principles and the earth's nature is one, principle and all mankind's nature one. So man takes the standpoint of Christianity, and its outcome is as the word. And the science says, and that is the feedback it went on for the glory of God, just presenting what is it is to itself, and that is always the feedback for higher input. And then we have now seen that the next category of science itself, that infinite principle being its own infinite principle, which in its first divine sense presents itself as ideational universe, and then in its absolute Christian sense presents itself as individual idea man. And that infinite calculus of ideas resolves on Christian Science level any belief that anything else is going on besides God. So we love it. As much as we have looked at it, it's just like music. It's like singing a beautiful song again and again, because it is a beautiful, simple model of being. And we see now that this model of being has all the categories here. It has the synonymous terms. It has the fourfold operation, operating on different levels of consciousness. And that is something, of course, that we can learn in its detail through Max Kapler's book, The Four Levels of Spiritual Consciousness, the level of science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. So it's nice to us to always love that and keep that melody in consciousness. I love saying it again. It's always fresh. It always makes one love the simplicity of the subject, and how Mrs. Eddy said, science and consciousness is at work in the economy of being. This is the economy of being. This is doing more with less. This is taking the essence of the Bible and the essence of the textbook and putting it in the model of being. And those of us who have been working together for a while, we feel then, if Peter said, one day is as the Lord, as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day, then we feel that the Bible covers the first 5,000 years of biblical history, of saying that one day of creation, of the first day of creation, is shown in the first thousand-year period of mind, the second day in the second thousand-year period of spirit, the third day in the third thousand-year period of soul, the fourth day in the 4,000-year period of principle, the fifth day in the 5,000-year period of life, where Jesus came, and then we have the revelation, and then we feel the Bible is eternal, it's timeless, but we feel the subject goes on to the textbook of Christian science, that little book that was prophesied, that was open, that was come. We feel as Christian scientists that's the textbook. And so therefore we feel that the textbook then presents to us the text of the 6,000-year period, and that this model of being would be the textbook of the 7,000-year period. Yes, yeah, so we can see then that this really, which Max Kapler shows in his book, The Four Levels of Spiritual Consciousness, from pages 29 to 62, he discusses the one book. And there he'll show then that in words, that how the Bible covers the first 5,000-year periods up to the time of Christ Jesus and his work and his prophecy through Revelation. And then we feel that the textbook of science and health covers the tonality of truth. We feel its truth volume, because he said a book would come which would teach you the spirit of truth. And Mrs. Eddy did, as we know, title her book according to the two-edged sword of truth, science and health, or science, we feel today she could have said, in consciousness, or science in the healthy whole consciousness, or science and holism, anything that stays within that concept of truth. So this is truth volume, she says so herself. And so we feel that the textbook is the textbook for to present, as she said, Christ science at the 6,000-year period, which we see is from 1,000 to 2,000 A.D., covering that whole tonality of the sixth day of truth in its 1,000-year period. And then we feel that the 7,000-year period is covered by the model of being, because we feel then, as I mentioned, that the Bible's in all its, I guess, 3,000 or more pages, and then the textbook in its, 600 pages, is all reduced down to the abstract symbols of capitalized terms as found in the textbook, and that this is the book of the 7,000-year period. And that's that method of economization, doing more with less, taking the essence of the Bible and the essence of the textbook and showing it in its deep structure. Remember that we said that, and we'll just leave it right here, how God was that deep fundamental structure, and that Jesus looked beneath the surface of things. The deep structure, as we saw, were the categories of the seven synonymous terms, the fourfold operation, and the four levels, the nature, operation, and dimensions of God. That deep structure now is the text. We arrive at a point where we can study the deep structure. Remember, Mrs. Eddy said that Revelation came in a language we couldn't understand. Well, and her first textbook, as we love it, in 1875, would all talk out from the synonymous terms, where she would say, well, you are spirit or soul or principle. Then she realized we didn't arrived yet to that standpoint of the 7,000-year period in consciousness. We would have had to have gone the way of the 8 ordered steps to oneness with being. We can't right away say we're mind. We had this debunking of mortal consciousness to go through all is mental, mental is good and evil, learning the synonymous terms. All these ordered steps to oneness with being lets us say, I mind, I spirit, I soul, I principle, I life, I truth, and I love on the 7,000-year period. It lets us go out from the capitalized terms, and this deep structure language, which is the original spiritual language of spirit, we can understand, think of it, an age that can understand the deep structure language of God and the universal laws that it implies. It's incredible how far we've come. And you can see Jesus said, greater things than these ye shall do. This is a greater thing. He had to speak still in the terminology of the Bible, where mind was a water and spirit was a firmament and soul was a dry land and principle was trees. And he had to talk in allegories and parables, anything to get the people to understand. Well, that doesn't make a science. You can't make a science in trees or, you know, it just was not the age. You can't build it on that. Mathematics had to come along in the human world to build up a science of the mental realm. And then we had to learn the ideas of the system to see the science of ideas. The age wasn't ready. But it is now to understand these capitalized terms. So we see then that it's a thrill. I mean, one can't be more grateful that we're lucky to be here at this age. Life is timeless and spaceless, I'm sure, in the universe, where some of our friends may have gone out of our vision, are also loving this because it's a universal idea, and we know it's happening everywhere. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. It's all the Word. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very good, Louisa. That we can see here that this one book is still all under the Word. The Word is the Word. The Word is the Christ. The Word is Christianity, and the Word is science. This is the Logos, God. That John. That's just the Word. It's the divine. It's the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the way the Word, God. We have learned what God is in this age through a science and understanding, and therefore this is, as Mrs. Eddy said, it's a primary school of mortal existence. This revealed texts have taught us what God is. And that's why we see when we go on into the 8,000-year period of the I Am, of science itself, we go through books and past books into being itself. You know how it says that there comes a time when man doesn't have to teach man. We have gone from the irrational through the rational to the irrational. That we know, and we've talked about how on the level of science itself is really the beginning. Where we all have that one mind, which is God being its own infinite mind. We all have the one view of reality. We all see the world as God sees the world. And therefore, we all then, through the law of self-reflection or self-similarity, spiral higher and higher from a boundless basis. We have been set free to master the infinite idea, and death is unknown, error is unknown. That is an experience. It cannot be written about. And so it's an awareness, it's a consciousness. That's why we say that we have to concept build with everything, we have to tonality build with everything, we have to consciousness build and being build. Our goal is to make this the structure of our consciousness, not to play a glass bead game with the model of being. You see, this model of being, the textbook for the 7,000-year period, could be a glass bead game, where we just memorize what science itself is, or divine science, or absolute Christian science, Christian science. We memorize these different laws, and we just do our exercises with them, or things like that. We know this isn't the point. The point is that this is there to show us the structure of being and its universal laws. And that structure of being and its universal laws are our identity. We are the calculus. That's what the apocalypse wanted to say. And Mrs. Eddy shows that in her 16th chapter, which catapults us into this model of being, doesn't it? Because it's in the structure of the levels. One of the few chapters in the textbook that is in the levels of science. It's a chapter preparing us for the 7,000-year period, kicking us out of the textbook, so to speak, and saying, now you go on. And go on into a consciousness of the 7,000-year period, and then go on into the consciousness of the 8,000-year period, where we go through symbols and past symbols into being itself. But as she shows, that spiritual teaching is always through symbols. And every subject uses its symbols. Whether it's was mathematics or music or whatever, everything is taught by symbols. Our symbols have to have been the categories of God, you see. So we don't want to get hung up on the letter or hung up on symbols. But we've got to have what we, the letter, our consciousness. Okay, and I know we know that, and this is what we're so grateful for. We just say this together in glorifying it to ourselves. So that's the model of being, and those are the levels. And now we can see and appreciate why the seven synonymous terms then, how mind then we saw structured itself dimensionally. You see, we see that is then bringing in that whole category of the dimensions into the subject. So that has to be first anticipated here in the eight order steps, an appreciation. One needn't do the an in-depth study here, but at least your first impulse through the eight ordered steps, we appreciate that point, that those ideas in the compendium take on a dimensional structure, actually. Yes, so we go on now, and we can see now that there are so many different exercises that one can do with the synonymous terms to help build it up in consciousness and qualities. One I like a lot is when I went through Max's book with the fine-tooth comb of Christian government, and then through the Capital Institute Publishing, we reprinted that book just recently in a new form. It is such that I saw, gee, what a wonderful exercise that one could do, as he gives it in the Christian government book, culturing tonality in the categories of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love with the ideas. It's always fun to have some guide, too, besides just looking at the ideas, and which is important in making sentences, as Dave said, and seeing how it applies to our life. But here I was really thrilled where the exercise in working with the individual rights of man, as Max presents it in that wonderful book, Christian Government, based on Mrs. Eddy's manual, which shows that what we now have for the world and the gift she gave us was a church universal and triumphant, universal science, free from any sectarian connotations. And so here under mind, we can say, well, if we go out from the one mind, then we're governed by mind alone. You know, man governed by it's his maker is self-governed. It's self-government under the immediate directions of the laws of God, not under any people. If we get the sense of self-government, we'll no longer be under the influence of people's suggestions. If we don't know what to do or not to do, we always take everything right back to principle and the divine mind, and we work through revelation, reason, and demonstration. We know that Mrs. Eddy would not take anyone into her household who couldn't handle animal magnetism, which we know now is just a suggestion coming outside, not from revelation on our one-on-one relationship with mind itself. So therefore, our individual rights is to be governed by the one mind alone that handles animal magnetism. And our right then is to think. And it's our right not only is to think, but to think independently, dependent on the one capital mind only. It is to think progressively, definitely, correctly, logically, individually, rightly, fearlessly. For we know in the preface of the chapter it says, the time for thinkers has come in the textbook. And our right is to learn, to investigate, to study, to search. Our right is to be law-abiding. Our right is to have the courage of conviction, to act boldly, to say and write what one thinks to be good, honest, and true. Our right is to be esteemed for thinking and acting according to conviction. Our right of conscience, our right of wisdom, the right to know right from wrong. For in Science and Health on page 106, God has endowed man with inalienable rights, among which are self-government, reason, and conscience. It's our right for new vision, the right to be enlightened, the right to be a discoverer, the right to be inspired. For in Miscellaneous Writings in People's Idea of God, Mazzetti says, the man of integrity is one who makes it his constant rule to follow the road of duty, according as truth and the voice of his conscience point it out to him. The right to know God, divine principle, to be free of agnosticism. Isn't that wonderful? These are our inalienable rights, as given to us through the Constitution of God. Or we'll just do a few exercises. And then, naturally, it's something that we can do also on our own. Or, for example, with spirit, using the different ideas we know from spirit, we have the right to be governed by spirit alone. Therefore, our right is the right of progress and unfoldment and development. For as in Miscellaneous Writing 106, Mrs. Eddy said, Christian Science and Christian Scientists will, must have a history. We have the right to have only one God, the right to be free of polytheism, the right to be uncompromising, the right to trust in spirit, the right to worship God, the right to put first things first, the right to be positive, the right to resist the negative, the right to be good, the right to resist evil, to resist friction, the right to be pure, to be free from materialism, to be free from mingling spirit and matter, to be free from sensualism, the right to be orderly, the right to attend the birth of the divine idea. Or in working with the various ideas that we have learned under soul in an exercise we can do. Under soul, we have the right to be governed by soul alone. Therefore, the right of freedom, the right won through identification with God. To be free from all limitations, slavery, bondage, to be free from sin, sickness, and death, to be free of all physical error of the first degree, to be free from all mental error of the second degree, to have freedom of speech, the right to have humility, meekness, self-abnegation, to be unself, the right to have confidence, determination, perseverance, the right to have integrity, the right to beauty, grace, the right to have joy, happiness, spiritual satisfaction, the right to have security, safety, stability, spiritual certainty, the right to have spiritual understanding, the right to identify oneself with God, to be free from pantheism. Or then we can take then just the example up to principle, and then we can do the rest ourselves with life, truth, and love. It says principle. The right to be governed by principle alone. Our birthright is the right to be obedient to principle alone, to be free from obedience to personal theories, to material knowledge, to physical explanation of science, to a mental explanation of science, to human organizations, to personal authorities, to personal teachers, practitioners.